What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Lakers Outsiders podcast. Gary Kester here with you, as always, joined by my my partner in crime. He's back.
I'm back.
Moved into a new city, a new place, and starting a whole new chapter. Hani Amadian's with us. Hani, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Kind of missed doing this, but happy to be back.
You kind of miss it just because of me. I mean, you can admit it. It's fine.
I mean, I wasn't going to say anything, but yeah, kind of missed your marble voice in my ears.
I expected you to just cut out and just completely drop from the podcast after that, but he's still with us. it's been a little while, been a lot of prior engagements, I guess, that kept me personally away from the podcast and kind of occupying my time. And I apologize for that, but we are back. We're ready to dive into a number of topics this summer to try and kind of fill the void from here on to training camp in September, kind of the dead point of the NBA season and the NBA offseason, and just baseball filling up the timeline right now. So I'm ready for football and for Lakers basketball to come back, especially with this upcoming season, because they do have some new faces. We've talked extensively about the players that they drafted: Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, Thomas Bryant. All four guys are on the roster. Thomas Bryant got his deal done recently, so he will be on the roster. It's not a two-way contract. It is a legitimate contract to be on the 15-man roster. But this podcast, we're going to be talking about free agency and just kind of the summer the Lakers have had to this point and some potential free agents that are still available. So we'll start, I guess, we've already talked about all the draft guys and summer league and all that stuff. So let's talk about the big newcomers. First and foremost, the big and only new free agent that the Lakers signed, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. They signed to a one-year, $18 million deal. Pretty significant considering all the circumstances that went into this signing. But Hani, I mean, you were a pretty big advocate, I think, of signing Caldwell Pope, and didn't expect it to be a 1 year deal and have this kind of situation unfold. But how did you feel about this signing? It's obviously not long term, at least not yet. It could be maybe later on down the line, but 1 year deal, I mean, you got to feel pretty good about this signing.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about it, all things considered. If I weren't thinking about what they were trying to do over the next offseason, I would have wanted a long-term deal, because I think Caldwell Pope is a good enough player that I'd want him long-term with the Lakers. He's a good defender. He's still really young. He can shoot, at least from three. He's not a very good finisher on the rim. But yeah, he kind of brings in a couple of different things that the Lakers really needed, and that's defense, number one. Shooting, like I mentioned, and then being on a one-year deal is huge because it clears up space again next summer if the Lakers actually think they can sign Paul George and another star. So it's kind of a win-win scenario for the Lakers, because they get a good player that's going to help them this year. It's going to help them play better, win more games, and then next year if they think that they have a chance of getting better, then they can move on from him very easily.
You mentioned Paul George and another star. Might that star be LeBron James?
It might be. Obviously the goal. He'd be the best player they could sign, clearly, but I kind of just said other star because I'm a cynic and don't buy it yet.
And you're not going to chain yourself to some kind of hot take or prediction that can come back and blow up in your face.
I mean, ask me again in a couple hours when it's later and I'm sleepy. But right now, I'm gonna stay cool.
All right, breaking news: we're gonna film another podcast later today, and I'm gonna ask Hani the same question. No. I mean, it's pretty significant for a number of reasons, I think. For the reasons that you mentioned, Hani, I think he brings a skill set that the Lakers need, a guy that's, you know, a decent shooter on the perimeter. They definitely needed that. He's a pretty good defensive player, although I think, I think he's not like an all-NBA defender or anything like that, but I think clearly he's probably going to be the best perimeter defender on the Lakers, unless Brandon Ingram makes a big leap on that end of the floor this year, which, I mean, is possible, but I don't typically – you know, hold young players to that kind of expectation. the shooting and the defense is big. And I mean, is it fair to say that he's a massive upgrade over Jordan Clarkson, or just he's a considerable upgrade though?
Yeah, I mean, he's a pretty huge upgrade. The only thing Clarkson really has an advantage is his ability to finish around the rim. It's like Clarkson's not great at it, but KCP's pretty awful at it. Because I'm pretty sure he shot like sub 40% from the field, even though he shoots like 35% from three. So that's
like me in pickup.
That's like me in pickup, except I don't shoot layups because threes are greater than two, bro.
I'll start dunking when they make it worth 3 points.
Yeah, but other than that, he's an upgrade because he's much better defensively, and he's about the same, maybe slightly better as a long range shooter.
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of believed that Clarkson is best suited to be a six man kind of scorer off the bench type of role. Mm-hmm. And well, I mean, not as rookie year. I think I was excited that, you know, the 46th pick in the draft is playing really well. Maybe he can be a starter, but Clarkson's, I think, pretty close to his ceiling if he hasn't hit it already. I think we've seen it enough now to kind of say this is kind of who he is. You know, he's 25 now, so, I mean, he's probably, a year or two from really entering the prime of his career. And, you know, I mean, he's still a quality – I think he's a quality NBA player on a decent contract. I don't think it's a great one, like we kind of initially thought when he signed it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Clarkson's fine. I mean, there are some things he does that kind of drives me crazy when he over-dribbles and kind of just breaks out of the offense a little bit. But hopefully the addition of Lonzo Ball kind of helps remedy that a little bit. And we'll see with that. But, I really love the KCP signing because, I mean, just for a number of reasons. I didn't think it was going to be – possible at all to get a player like that, you know, a player that's entering free agency as a restricted free agent, and, you know, to have his rights be completely renounced was just shocking to me because I think he's a quality young player.
Yeah.
And, you know, to see that happen was just very surprising to me. And then I thought it was very surprising the Lakers could get him on a 1 year deal away from a team like the Brooklyn Nets that could offer him a 4 year deal for the same or more money. Yeah. And, you know, guarantee, because, I mean, like anybody would, players typically prefer to get, you know, the most money they can, the most guaranteed money locked in over 3 or 4 years. And, you know, the Lakers got him on a 1 year deal. I'm not going to go as far as saying it was like water showering down from the heavens above in the middle of the desert or something, but. It was a pleasant surprise that they could get KCP on a 1 year deal. But no, I'm very happy with it, and it establishes, because the Lakers have made it well known that they're saving their money for next summer. This allows them to get a quality player while doing that.
Yeah.
So they get the best of both worlds. I didn't think they were going to be able to really get anybody this summer because they were offering 1 year deals, but they were able to get him. And they can start to establish that relationship with Rich Paul, who is the agent of LeBron James. And I guess now it gives them kind of, I guess, a way to tamper a little bit throughout the season, because they can legally speak to Rich Paul throughout the year, just delete those text messages. But no, I mean, you establish kind of that framework of that relationship, and maybe that leads to something bigger down the line, and you hope the Cleveland situation continues to deteriorate, and maybe it lands you the big fish next summer in LeBron James, which is he's a very polarizing figure among the NBA world, but especially among Laker fans. A lot of Laker fans just don't want him, which is crazy to me because I think he's still the best player in the world at this point in time. But, yeah. No, we'll dive into that some other time, but no, I love the KCP signing. I think it addressed a big position of need. Like I said, the skill set is definitely something they needed, and he's just a quality player. You know, on a 1 year deal, it fits into everything that they were looking to do this summer. So, I'm pretty pumped about that. I'm pretty pumped because I was really worried about, you know, if our starting backcourt is a rookie point guard. You know, and I love Lonzo Ball. Don't get me wrong. I love Lonzo, but as a rookie point guard next to Jordan Clarkson, I was like, that's a backcourt that could really, really struggle, not only defensively, but just overall. They're going to take their lumps. But I think with Lonzo and KCP, that's a big upgrade with KCP. And you still have Clarkson off the bench. And I mean, and Clarkson, I would assume, is going to play some spot minutes at point guard like he has pretty much every year. Which kind of leads us into, I guess, another free agent that was on the Lakers for a brief stint last year was Tyler Ennis, who the Lakers re-signed to a 2-year deal with a team option on the second year. So probably essentially a 1-year deal. I mean, what are your thoughts on this contract? I'm not very high on Ennis personally, and I'm a little concerned that if the point guard situation is Lonzo and him, that could be a problem. Do you feel the same way, how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about Ennis either. Wasn't really crazy about him after they got him in that trade last year, which, I mean, not that it mattered. They were trading Marcelo Huertas, who is a point god, but regardless, wasn't making that much of an impact.
Catalyst.
Yeah, so I'm not crazy about him. I don't think he's really shown anything to say that he's a quality player in the NBA. As a backup, he's okay, but he not in the top half of backup point guards either. I know a lot of people, and we were talking about this before we started the pod, a lot of Lakers fans kind of grew a liking to him last year. Just over the last couple weeks of the season, he had a pretty good stretch where he was shooting the ball really well and just playing well in general. Mm-hmm. But considering his career so far, and it's not a super long career, but it's long enough where we've seen that he's not a good shooter at all.
Playing in some point guard friendly systems too.
Yeah, and you know, he just doesn't do a whole lot of anything. He doesn't have one NBA one big skill where you can say that's his calling in the NBA. It's just a little bit of everything, which is all right again. But like you said, with Lonzo as your starting point guard, you expect him to have some struggles because he's a rookie. And it's, on a minimum deal, Tyler Ennis is fine. But, there's other guys that they probably could have gotten at that same amount of price. Ian Clark literally signed for a minimum deal, and we don't know if he wanted to join the Lakers or not. But it just feels like they could have probably gotten a better player at that position for the same amount of money. But, continuity is another thing. Maybe they valued that a little bit more.
Which I laughed at that because the continuity for that point guard was okay, but not the other one. But anyways.
Yeah. But either way, I'm not crazy about it. And I also I'm going to sound like a jerk, but I really don't enjoy watching him play basketball either. Just purely aesthetics. He's just not fun to watch for me. It's not something that's going to change the whole course of the franchise or anything. It's not a huge impact, but it's just something that they probably could have done better.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, I don't think you're getting a whole lot with Ennis. I mean, I hope to be wrong on that. I really do. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm wishing ill will on any of these guys or anything, but just from what I saw last year, it was just a very poor defender that, had a couple games here and there that he shot the ball pretty well. But I mean, overall, as when you're looking for any kind of consistency or anything, you want maybe some stability coming off the bench. I mean, I don't really see it with Ennis. I think he's going to play well in spurts, which is nice. But like you said, I think there were options that they could have gone after in free agency that would have been better for around the same price or maybe the same price. I mean, Ian Clark was 1 year, $1.6 million. So Lakers could have signed him for that and more. I think they could have done better there. And I hope that they're still going to bring in another point guard, hopefully a veteran point guard, which there are still some out there. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, if the point guard situation is Lonzo Ball and Tyler Ennis, I feel like that's a cause for concern because you're relying heavily on a rookie and then, a backup that, who knows just how much production you're going to really get out of him.
Yeah, in
Tyler Ennis. But yeah, I mean, Ennis is fine. Like, I mean, if he was the third point guard on the roster, I guess I'd feel a lot better about it.
Yeah.
As kind of like your 13th through 15th guy or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I mentioned, Clarkson will play some spot minutes. So maybe if Clarkson is like the backup point guard, even though, I mean, he's just kind of the backup for both, I guess, in a way, if you stagger the rotation the right way. Because the Lakers do have four shooting guards, including Clarkson, on the roster with KCP, him, Josh Hart, and Vander Blue, who we'll talk about in a second, that was signed to a partially guaranteed deal. So it's not a guarantee that he'll be on the roster. But yeah, Luke Walton might have to be a little creative, I guess, with the point guard rotation. Because I think if Ennis is playing like 20 minutes a night even, I mean, yeah. I don't know if that's a recipe for success on very many nights. So hopefully, you know, Ennis proves us wrong and he plays well and shoots the ball well and, you know, starts to create a little bit more and things like that. But that one I was less enthused about, I guess, because of the options that were still available. And especially because, like, you know, we mentioned Ian Clark a lot, and I think both of us really liked him as an option coming from a championship team. He's a quality, you know, and, you know, he can play either guard spot. And even though he's more of a two guard than a point guard, the Lakers have kind of preached on playing this positionless basketball where I think even Lonzo as a point guard is a low usage player. Like, he gets rid of the ball pretty quickly and he tries to set up guys, but, you know, I think the whole traditional point guard thing, like, people look a little too much into that still. Mm-hmm. And you don't need your point guard to be a high usage player anymore, especially if you've got five guys that can handle and create or shoot or whatever, which, I mean, the Lakers do. Like, if they start Lonzo Ball, KCP, Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle, and Brook Lopez, I think you've got five guys that are at least respectable shooters. Randle is still to be determined, but you know, it's okay. So it's at least four guys.
Yeah.
With the possibility of, and, you know, Ingram and Randle can create. I honestly don't know, like, all the ins and outs of Brook Lopez's game. Like, I haven't had a ton of reason to watch the Nets a lot the past few years, but I mean, Lopez is a really good player though. Like, I know he's, you know, he's a very good player and, you know, he can do a lot of things. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But I mentioned Vander Blue, who played really, really well in the summer league, and he's been awesome in the D League, now the G League, with the South Bay Lakers. They were the defenders. He was the D League MVP, I believe, last year. Yeah. And I, you know, Boise, here in Boise, there we had a D League team, and you know, I've seen them play a few times, and he was really good in the D League, and he played really well in summer league. But Hani, how do you like? I mean, he's had a brief stint with the Lakers before. You guys might remember him; he was the guy with the crooked jersey. But I mean, how are you feeling about Vander Blue? I mean, do you think he has a realistic shot of making the roster, or do you think this is kind of just a camp invite and a thank you for playing well in the opportunities that we've given you and that sort of thing?
Most of the second thing, especially because they did give him the partial guarantee, I think something like $50,000. I think it's just kind of a gesture of thank you for him being on the summer league team and kind of helping out the team during that when he could be out trying to find a job in Europe where he could get paid a whole lot of money instead. That being said, I'm not, you know, I don't think he has a great chance of making the roster, but I wouldn't be against it. Again,
it's like, a tough position, right?
Yeah.
It's a tough position with three shooting guards already there.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, even if you want him to kind of play point guard since he's a little undersized, especially since they did sign Ennis, it's kind of, you know, I don't know how comfortable they are now having their third point guard be Vander Blue.
Yeah.
But, like, I do like him. I think he's a fun player, and he does some stuff well. Like, he's a good shooter. He's actually pretty good getting to the rim and finishing despite his size. But at the end of the day, that's basically all he does. He's not a defender. He's not much of a passer. Though he was like, he was legitimately improved in summer league. He was a decent passer. Yeah. So I'm not super keen on seeing him on the roster, but I wouldn't be against it. And you know, I think he's fine. And like, I think I even mentioned at some point on Twitter or something when I was kind of dejected about all the other point guards left on the market. I was like, I'm fine with Vander Blue being the second point guard, but I don't know how fine I am now that Tyler Ennis is also signed.
How late at night was that tweet?
I don't know. I'd have to go check the receipts, but it was probably pretty late.
It's the same time I'm going to record the second pod and ask you that same question.
So basically what's going to happen on the second pod is Vander Blue is becoming the NBA MVP and LeBron James is going to ride on his coattails to his next championship.
That second pod sounds like it's going to be so much fun. I mean, I like Vander. I like guys that, you know, can fill it up and shoot And the Lakers made that a big point of emphasis this summer. They wanted to get guys that could shoot, and that was one of their biggest needs last year. They had one guy last year that I think that was above league average from three, and that guy plays for Golden State now. They made a big point of emphasis on that, and I think he definitely deserves a camp invite. Like, I don't think there's any question about that, because I think he's worked really hard. And he has improved. He's gotten better. It's just a tough roster for him to crack because of, you know, the players already in front of him. Like, you've got – I mean, maybe if they trade Clarkson, it becomes more, you know, more of a possibility, because then you're opening up – you've got KCP, and then you have a rookie, Josh Hart, and then you'd have Vander Blue at that two-guard spot. So it's like – then it becomes possible, and maybe that's the Lakers thinking. Maybe it's like, oh, this is like a little – you know, a little like backup shooting guard option in case we do trade him, you know, mid-season before the deadline or before the start of the regular season or whatever, which I really don't think will happen, but we'll see on that. But yeah, that go ahead.
I was going to say, even if they don't sign him right now to a regular roster spot, just maybe even having him in camp and seeing how good he can be with the other regular guys in practice, then if he does go play in Europe or China or somewhere, he can come back early and then they can sign him later on if they do trade Clarkson or something.
Yeah, or maybe the Bulls will pick him up since they like taking away Lakers shooting guards, but whatever.
I'm triggered.
No, I'm very happy for just on a side real quick. David Nwaba, I'm very, very happy that he did get picked up by somebody and is getting, you know, another NBA shot, because I really like Nwaba. But anyways, that is honestly, that's it for Lakers free agency. I mean, it feels like they did a lot more than they did because of the KCP signing. But that was it for free agency. I mean, everybody else was acquired through trade or through the draft. And I mean, I think overall they did really well, though, because of the KCP signing. You know, I think that was, to me, like this summer, that was best case scenario. Unless one of those other superstars like Gordon Hayward or Blake Griffin, whoever, you know, called up the Lakers and was like, hey, like, I'm interested in playing for you. Then it would have given them something to think about. But like, that was getting, you know, a player like KCP at his age, who we all thought was going to be a restricted free agent. And just the way that whole situation unfolded, that was great. That was a great, great move for them to do. But so that's it for the free agents. Let's talk a little bit about Brook Lopez. I don't think we've talked enough about Lopez, because we've talked a lot about the trade that got Brook Lopez and the picks and D'Angelo Russell and all that stuff. And I think what kind of gets lost in all that, because the Lakers traded away a young player that they spent the number two pick on a couple years ago, the Lakers got a really good player in return that I think we can all be excited about. I don't think, you know, I don't know if he's necessarily going to be with be a Laker for a long time. You know, he is a candidate to get traded at the deadline if the Lakers want to add assets to try and unload the Luol Deng contract or the Jordan Clarkson contract. So that's possible. But, honey, I mean, what do you like about Lopez? How do you think he fits in with this team?
He does a lot of good things, and his biggest skill, and the biggest thing that's really going to help this team is that he's a very solid shooter from deep. And as a center, first of all, that's super rare, and it creates a lot of mismatches for him. So he's going to be able to get open looks, especially with somebody like Lonzo, who, if he plays as well as he did in summer league and in the NBA, is going to be able to find him for open looks all the time. And the second thing is that shooting just creates so much space for everybody else, because it's taking a center out of the paint basically on every play. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how that helps the other Lakers young guys, especially Julius Randle, who I think is going to benefit a lot from that, because he's going to be able to take guys off the dribble and have no help defense hounding him and kind of messing up with his finishing, since he still needs some work with that. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about Brook Lopez. It's kind of a bummer because we basically know that he's not going to be in LA for more than a year. The thing is, if he is in LA for more than a year, that means the Lakers' plan went very wrong and they weren't able to sign the guys that they want next summer. That's kind of a bummer. But for the year or the half a year that he is in LA, I think it's going to be pretty helpful to get wins and also to help develop a lot of the young guys.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Brook Lopez is that, you know, it probably is a one-year rental, and he's a very good player for the reasons that you mentioned. And I love the fact that he can shoot. Last year, he really kind of took it to the next level with how many tries that he 2 years ago, he averaged 0.2 three-point attempts per game and shot 14.3%. he wasn't a shooter. And then last year, he shot 5.2 threes a game and shot at 34.6%. I mean, if the Lakers can get that from him at the five spot, I mean, that creates a lot of floor spacing, for other guys to do things. And, that makes – because the thing that with Lonzo Ball at UCLA, he had a lot of shooters around him. Even, like, their big guys, like TJ Leaf, could step out and really shoot. For the most part, not all of them, but, you know, for the most part they could. And I think that really helped him. And I think having a guy like Lopez and Ingram, hopefully his shot comes back around, like we saw it in college for that school that I'm not going to mention. But and with KCP, I mean, he's a pretty good shooter. Like, having that amount of shooting will create so much more spacing, and I think it'll help everything just flow much, much better and just make the game easier. And Julius Randle even said it to ESPN LA. He did a radio interview with them a little while back, and they asked about Brook Lopez, and he talked about how that frees, you know, him up to do a lot of things. And, like, you know, he likes to take his guy off the dribble. You know, he can do that, you know, and it creates a lot of one-on-one opportunities, I think. And he even said, like, if Brook Lopez's guy drops down to help out, you know, it's an important thing to have, knowing you can throw it out to your big guy and he can actually hit from the three-point line. Like, you have that trust in him. So, I mean, he's just – I think another, you know, big thing with him is that there were a number of plays in summer league that Lonzo, you know, running pick and rolls or just having cutters go to the basket, guys that didn't catch the ball or didn't finish – I think Lopez, you don't have to worry about that. I think he's going to catch, and he's, you know, he's a pretty creative finisher. You know, he's got a really good floater. He's pretty crafty around the basket and in the paint. I think that's going to be a big asset too. We all talk about – we've talked about his shooting a lot, and a lot of people have talked about his shooting, as they should, because it's his shooting percentage at his position is very impressive. But I think his ability to cut and to score in the paint and finish around the basket's also going to be really big for these guys, and that'll make the game easier for them. So I'm excited for Brook Lopez, even though it might be just a year. And, you know, like you said, if they re-sign him, I doubt it's for a cheap contract. I'd be really, really surprised given his age and his production. And I think his game will age fairly well.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think he's, like, knocking on the door of, you know, just declining really fast or anything like that. I mean, he's only 29 years old, you know, so I think he's still got, you know, at least a few really good years left, at least offensively. I don't think he offers a ton defensively. He averaged 1.7 blocks a game last year. I'd have to look deeper into his rim protection numbers, but not a great rebounder. But you kind of hope with, I think, with Lonzo and with Randall, and even Ingram's length, that they'll be okay in the rebounding department.
Right.
Because they've got guys that can rebound the basketball. So I think they'll be okay there. Like defensively, I wouldn't expect, I guess, a ton out of Brook Lopez. But I think offensively, he's going to really help the Lakers out. And I think the Lakers are going to just play a fun, exciting, fast-paced brand of basketball, at least offensively this year. And I think it's like I've said this a number of times now. I don't know how many games they're going to win. I really don't. I couldn't put a number on it right now. But I feel like they're going to be really fun to watch. And I think that's something that we kind of thought last year, and I think there were times that they were really fun, but I think this is going to kind of take it with Lonzo, you know, on the team now. I think that's going to take it to another level, and the amount of shooting they have and those things. It'll be fun. There'll be a lot of fun to watch. And I'm excited for Brook Lopez. I'm excited to see this roster. I mean, because really you've got three new starters, you know, as, you know, compared to last year. If you consider Ingram a starter, I guess the you know, Deng started most, or not most, but a good chunk of the year. But now you've got probably Lonzo, KCP, Ingram, Randall, and Lopez. I mean, that's a pretty different lineup than what we saw last year. So,
yeah. And you're going in with at least two guys in KCP and Lopez that are, you know, at least average NBA players at their positions. And that's, even that is just a big upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So it'll be exciting to watch. You know, there might be, I think Julius Randle said in that ESPN LA interview that they're going to take their lumps. And I could see that, you know, with new faces, it takes time to get acquainted with one another and just get used to tendencies and stuff like that. But, they should be fun to watch. It should be fun to watch. I think you're going to see a lot of switching defensively, between Randle. I mean, through the four starters, I don't think you want Lopez switching a ton on ball handlers out on the perimeter. But between Randall, Ingram, KCP, and Ball, I mean, those guys are 6'6", or 6'5", to 6'9". So it's like you can switch a lot of things. So maybe that helps you out a little bit defensively. I still wouldn't expect the Lakers to be very good defensively this year after being, to me, by far the worst defensive team last year. So, but, yeah, no, it's going to be fun. I'm ready for it. I'm excited for the season to start. I'm ready to get through this kind of dead period of the offseason and get going. But, I mean, that's it for the newcomers besides the draftees, which we've talked endlessly about. But now let's dive into – so the Lakers, looking at their depth chart, they don't have any cap space. They do have a room exception that they could still use, and they can also sign minimum deal guys, which I think at this point most signings are going to be. We saw that with Ian Clark today, you know, a guy that's 26 and I think is a quality player signed for $1.6 million. So you're going to see a lot of cheap deals from here on out. But the Lakers, kind of the roster breakdown, they have with Vanderbilt. So we're counting Vanderbilt not – on the 15-man roster here because his deal is only partially guaranteed. The Lakers, without Vanderbilt, would have one more roster spot on their 15-man roster, and they also have one more two-way contract, which isn't on the roster. They have Alex Caruso as the one already on a two-way contract. But just looking at the final 15-man roster, Hani, I mean, what do you think the Lakers still need at this point?
I think there's two big needs. One of them, and obviously you might not be able to get both in one player. One of them is another backup point guard because, as we talked about, Lonzo's going to have his struggles. Tyler Ennis isn't that great. And then Jordan Clarkson, he's a solid backup point guard, but he's going to be kind of extended to playing a lot of the two as well. So that's number one. And then the other thing, I think they still need a defender for like a versatile defender that can guard ones, twos, and threes, basically. Kind of a bigger guy, a wing guy. If he can shoot, then great. If not, just a defensive specialist that can come off the bench and help when they need it. help somebody like Lonzo, who's going to probably struggle on that end to start. I think that would be a pretty big addition to the roster.
So who are some guys? Because I agree. I mean, to me, the point guard is the biggest addition or a biggest position of need. Just a guy, another guy that can create, that, you know, can come in, shoot, maybe defend, like some of that stuff. Like, you're not going to get, I think, at this point, a guy that can do all of those things because it's so late in the process. And, you know, those players are on rosters already. So, but I do agree. I think point guard is the biggest thing, because I mentioned it, or we talked about it earlier. Like, if, you know, your point guard situation is a rookie starter, although it's a guy we really like, I just want to throw that out there before people jump to conclusions. We really like Lonzo Ball, but you're relying heavily on a rookie point guard and Tyler Ennis. I mean, that's potential for disaster. I think you're like, you know, I don't want to really talk about it, but like, you're an injury away from having like almost nothing at point guard, you know, just very, very minimal production. And that's an issue. That's an issue. So to me, point guard is the biggest area of need. Somebody that can create and or shoot would be awesome. Hani, I mean, we talked a little bit before we went on, but who are some of the guys that you think you would target to fill some of the voids that you think the Lakers roster has right now?
Okay. So I knew you were going to talk a lot about point guards, so I chose non-point guards to talk about that basically do none of the things you just talked about. But one of the guys I've been kind of like just watching his situation all free agency has been Tony Allen. He's an unrestricted free agent still. The Grizzlies pretty much have moved on, and it seems pretty clear that they're not going to re-sign him.
First team all defense.
He's 35 years old, but he can still play defense. He doesn't do anything else well, but he's an incredible defender still. I guess the biggest question is whether he'd want to come join a young team, or if he'd rather like join somebody like the Cavs, where he can basically get a free ride to the finals. But yeah, like, I haven't really heard any sort of reports of other teams showing interest in him. There just hasn't been a whole lot of talk about him, and he's still, like I said, really solid on that end of the floor. He'd be a good guy for the Lakers young guys to learn from. And he can legitimately play defense and help kind of turn that part of their game around.
Yeah, I've loved Tony Allen. I mean, the Grizzlies have always been a team that, like, I mean, I usually just don't like other teams in the league, but the Grizzlies are always a team that I kind of like had a soft spot for, I guess. I just always liked the players that they had, and Tony Allen was one of them. I hated him when he played with Box. Oh my Lord, I hated that guy. But I hated him because he was so good defensively. Like, that guy just gets into you. And yeah, I mean, he's really, really good on that end. I, you know, he's certainly not what he was in his prime. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you want to kind of set a tone for these young guys and like, this is what it takes to be, you know, a defender, this is the mindset you have to have, and this and that, I was like, I mean, I would agree with you. I think that's a great example of a guy that you can do that with, you know, and still a guy. I mean, even at his age, and it's not saying a whole lot, but he would be one of the best defenders on the Lakers, if not the best defender. Yeah. I'd probably give the nod to KCP, I guess, just because of youth. But I can definitely, and especially like with Brandon Ingram, like, he's the guy I would think that, like, that's who I want to learn from Tony Allen. Like, if Brandon Ingram becomes like a monster defensively with that length and his size and just all that, it's like, whew. I mean, that's a scary thought for, you know, opposing players, like opposing scorers and that sort of thing. So yeah, I'm on board with Tony Allen, especially if he's just going to shout first team defense.
Yeah, man. We can steal the grit and grind trademark or something.
Just flip it around.
Right? The grinding grit.
But no, I mean, honestly, the names I wrote down are point guards. And I already know that, like, when I start reading them off, people are going to jump and just be like, oh, he sucks. Like, we shouldn't sign that guy. And it's like, yeah, there's a reason why these guys are still available a month after free agency started. But the Lakers have said, like, they want a veteran guard for Lonzo to learn from. And it's like, when you look at their roster now, Tyler Ennis is in his mid-20s, early to mid-20s. Same with KCP, and Clarkson's 25, and Vanderbilt is young. Like, they have a lot of youth in their backcourt right now. So they don't have that veteran leader. I mean, there's a number of veteran guys that they could go after. Here's some names I wrote down. Leandro Barbosa, Aaron Brooks, Norris Cole, Beno Udrih, CJ Watson. And this last name I wrote down, I feel like is going to get the biggest reaction, but Deron Williams is still a free agent, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah. I mean, let's not confuse anything here. Deron Williams is not what he used to be. I mean, there was a point in time where you could make a case that he was the best point guard in the league. Like, it was him and Chris Paul, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's fallen off quite a bit from that, but, no, I mean, I wouldn't mind Deron Williams as kind of that veteran presence, because, I mean, he's been through just about everything as an NBA player, right? Mm-hmm. With his up and down kind of career with the Jazz, the whole thing with Jerry Sloan, and then the whole deal with the Nets, the Mavs, now the Cavs. I mean, he's been through a lot. So I think, you know, he's a veteran that could, you know, really teach the young guys a thing or two, especially Lonzo. You know, I think you have to really not play him a whole lot. And he did play, I think, 20 minutes. I'm looking at his stats now, 20 minutes a game with the Cavs. I didn't realize he played that much, but
yeah.
He's a guy that can still create a little bit. You know, he can set up other guys, and he's a decent 3-point shooter. I mean, he's a career 35.7% 3-point shooter. He shot 41.5% with Cleveland when they had a ton of space to work with. And it probably helps playing next to LeBron James. But I think playing next to a guy, you know, even if you play him next to like Lonzo Ball instead of just bringing him in when Lonzo goes out,
yeah.
He'll get those looks. Like, I mean, like I said, you're not going to find an ideal perfect fit at this point in free agency, especially for a guy on the end of the bench. But Deron Williams is a guy that I wouldn't mind, I guess. I wouldn't be like overly ecstatic about it, but – Barbosa makes a lot of sense, too, because he played in Golden State when Luke Walton was there. Beno Udrih is a guy that is decent, and he's a good pick-and-roll player, and the Lakers run a lot of high-screen and roll action. You know, and he's been through the league, and, God, he's been a Laker killer for as long as I can remember. That guy would always drive me nuts that he would just ball out against the Lakers. But, yeah, I mean, I wrote down some other names, like Isaiah Cannon, Gerald Henderson, although he's not a point guard, I think is still a decent two-guard option if you want to play Clarkson as backup point guard or whatever. So, I mean, there's some things they can do. I think they need a veteran point guard, like a Deron Williams or even a Barbosa that can play just, you know, a little bit here and there. Maybe Aaron Brooks. Brooks is a decent shooter, like, I don't know. That's how I feel about it. I think they need a veteran backup point guard. You need some experience in that backcourt, and hopefully a point guard that can shoot and or defend or create, you know. I mean, you're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel here in August, but those are the names that stood out to me looking at the list of names of guys that are available. I mean, of that list, is there anybody that you would – kind of prefer between like Barbosa, Brooks, Norris Cole, Udrih, CJ Watson, Deron Williams, any of those guys?
I think Deron Williams is probably the best one out of that group, at least in my eyes. Cause like, I think a lot of people are going to look at the finals where he was legitimately awful. Like, he was really bad in the finals, but like, if you take his full season last year, he was pretty solid. Like, he still put up good numbers. Average what, 11 points and 6 assists a game in like 30 minutes or like 26 minutes a night. Like, that's pretty solid. It's about the kind of production you want out of a backup point guard. And like you said, a veteran guy that's been through a lot. used to be really good. Like, he can at least teach guys like Lonzo, and you don't really care too much about his production on the court if you can at least have that mentorship role. So I think out of those guys, he'd be my pick. But I did really enjoy you saying Gerald Henderson. I'm wondering if Jacob wrote that on your paper.
It killed me, man. Absolutely killed me. I only did it because he's close friends with Wayne Ellington, who is a sweetheart. And yeah, no. Doesn't happen often that I'll recommend a Duke player, but, you know, here we are. It happens. It's late. You know, that's what I'm going to blame it on. So that's what you're going to blame the second podcast on. For those of them that have been listening, we're not actually doing a second podcast. Just
we're not doing the Lakers Outsiders After Dark podcast. Damn. I was getting
that'll
ready.
That'll be a very, very different podcast. That'll just be in the Slack.
We got to do one
per usual.
We got to do an exclusive one.
We needed to do one in Vegas, but yeah, we were all too busy having fun down there and enjoying the strip and the nightlife and all that stuff. Hey, that's us, the Lakers degenerates. Yeah, but I mean, I think that's going to do it for us this time. I think we've kind of touched on just about everything. I mean, I think we're both pretty excited for this upcoming season. I think this is the best the Lakers are going to be since 2012, 2013, which isn't saying a ton, but hey, it's a step in the right direction. Yeah. And, you know, I'm pumped. I'm ready for it. I'm just ready for some basketball again. I'm just such a basketball junkie that I hate the off season, especially now because I'm not like a huge baseball fan. So it's like it's just baseball right now, but football's coming up. But I'm ready for the Lakers season. You know, I'm excited to see how Lonzo does and KCP, Ingram, Randall Lopez, all those guys. So, but we've got plenty to talk about this summer. We are going to do, I want to say on our next podcast, but I can't guarantee it because there's a lot of topics we want to dive into. But coming soon, we will be talking about the power forward position because it seems to be a topic that is very polarizing amongst Laker fans. It's very dividing, I guess, whether you like Julius Randle, Larry Nance Jr., or Kyle Kuzma now. So we'll be talking about that very soon, hopefully in the next podcast, but no promises there. If you do enjoy the podcast, you can subscribe to us on YouTube and on iTunes or on Podbean. YouTube is obviously where we're going to film these live, and then they go right up on iTunes and Podbean afterwards. If you do enjoy the podcast, you can leave us a review on iTunes, which greatly, greatly helps us out. We really, really appreciate that. We appreciate all professional feedback. So let us know either in the comments or through iTunes review, anything like that. So, and of course, you can find all of our stuff on Facebook, Twitter, and obviously LakersOutsiders.com. Hani, I want to thank you for joining me. I'm kind of surprised. I feel like this is past your bedtime now.
It is past my bedtime.
I'm proud of you. Crazy. We'll have to make it later next time so that we don't have you on. No offense. But
I'm taking.
But no. But no, this was fun. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We'll definitely be on again soon now that summer classes are over for me. Hani's all moved in and a bunch of other things. So excited to talk about more stuff through this dead period of the NBA offseason and really kind of open up the discussions for all kinds of things. So for Hani Amadian, this is Gary Kester. Until next time, we'll see you guys later.
Shout out to future Laker Luke Babbitt.